10% of the population has amassed a huge amount of wealth, more than 50% of the bottom half of the population combined. Government basically, through our taxation policies, stuffed the richest segment of the population, which inevitably meant that it starved the poorest segment. And the homeless population are the true casualties of this huge disparity in wealth.
You're listening to Inside Mental Health, a Psych Central podcast where experts share experiences and the latest thinking on mental health and psychology. Here's your host, Gabe Howard.
Welcome to the show, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this bonus episode of the Inside Mental Health podcast. My name is Gabe Howard. We recently spoke with Dr. Robert L. Okun about his work, his advocacy, and his book, Silent Voices, People with Mental Disorders on the Street. Now, his information really taught me a lot, and I was so enthralled, the interview ran long. We just couldn't fit all of it into a single podcast episode, but I really felt that some of what had to be cut deserved to be heard. I talked to the great folks at Healthline Media, and they agreed that our listeners, you, deserved to have an opportunity to hear what I heard as well. Now, please be mindful that this interview sort of begins in the middle, and some of what he references is contained in the primary episode, Untold Stories, Homelessness and Mental Illness, which is available right now on your favorite podcast player. Thank you so much for listening, and here is more from our interview with Dr. Robert L. Okun. I think it's incredible that when there's multiple steps between why don't they just get a job and actually getting a job, the stories are like this one, right? We found stable housing. He got case management. He got a kitten. He got treatment for his physical illnesses. He got mental health treatment. And then suddenly here's a job. And as you just said, I don't want to say he lived happily ever after, but he went from homeless to employed because there was all these steps in between. Society leaves those steps out a lot. It really seems like the solution to homelessness is just stop being homeless. Is this one of these things that society just really holds dear, that they believe that at any given moment, the entire homeless population can just wake up one morning and think, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore, and this problem is resolved?
Yeah, I think that myth is a convenient myth because it takes the onus off of us to do anything and puts the onus totally on the people who are really kind of victims of government policy. Homelessness costs society a lot of money. You know, society may say, well, we don't want to pay for this. But frankly, we are paying for it. But the reason we can't see the full cost of homelessness is because the cost is buried in the budgets of many different city departments. So it's in the ambulance department, in the hospital department, in the Department of Public Works, the police department, the courts. So it's the cost is in these different departments, but it's hard to get our hands around it and see what the total cost is to society. And there have been several studies done on the cost of homelessness compared to the cost of giving people housing and treatment. And the cost of homelessness can be around $40,000 a year, and the cost to house and treat someone is about $20,000 a year. So it's about twice as much to leave people homeless as it is to help them get housing and treatment. While we're talking about costs, I might say that it is much more expensive to get people off the street than to prevent them from falling onto the street in the first place. So the cheapest thing for society to do is to prevent people from falling into homelessness in the first place. And the second cheapest thing to do is, once they're on the street, to get them housing and treatment. the most expensive thing for society is to let them slip onto the streets and leave them there.
I happen to know that you're absolutely correct. Study after study after study after study shows that the cost of homelessness is being borne by the taxpayer, and it would be significantly cheaper if we prevented the problem rather than how we're handling it now, quite frankly. And yet, society is okay with this because they just feel like it's a consequence of people's actions. I can't even begin to unpack why, as a nation, we're okay with homelessness at all. But I really can't begin to unpack why we're okay with paying extra for a worse outcome. Do you have any thoughts on why society is frankly kind of happy with the status quo, even though it's not benefiting anyone?
Well, I think I understand it. Society despises these people, and that reaction to them is what is preeminent. Even against society's own economic interests, you know, mentally ill people have been despised and feared throughout history. You know, they were burned as witches, they were put in poor houses and jails. Then they were institutionalized and segregated from society with no treatment, basically allowed to languish in state hospitals. Then they were thrown out of state hospitals with nothing, no services, no housing. And so if you trace how society has always dealt with people who have mental illness, it is usually that society despises and fears them.
It's just such an incredible amount to unpack. And the reason that I say this is because all in the news, it's ethics, Christian values, taking care of one another, supporting each other, love. And then we get to the wealthiest nation in the world. We have wealth beyond measure. And yet, with all of that rhetoric that comes from, this isn't rhetoric on the internet or rhetoric in the local bar or coffee shop. No, these are the conversations that our leaders have, from presidents to senators to on down. I'm still just very shocked, given our nation's motto of being an ethical, moral, and Christian nation, God loves America, and are boasting of being the wealthiest nation in the world, reporting pretty much all the billionaires, that this is still a thing. It's just so incongruent to our public selves. Is there any movement at all to get this resolved? Or as a country, do we just have to accept that we're hypocrites?
Well, just before I answer that question, I want to reflect on your comment about the fact that we, you know, we pretend certain things as a nation, and we, you know, we like to believe certain things about ourselves, but the values of American society have historically acted as powerful and pernicious forces in the cause of homelessness. And mentally ill people who fail to live up to these values are often pushed to the margins of society and abandoned. So let me give you a couple of examples of that. First, although we celebrate the melting pot and diversity in theory, we're clearly very ambivalent about it in practice, about the differences that exist among us. And differences are often negatively valued and deeply stigmatized. In the case of people who are different on the basis of race, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, disabilities of all kinds, you know, we stigmatize them. So even though we say that we believe in the melting pot, our actions are clearly opposite of this. Secondly, although we say we believe that all people should enjoy equal opportunity to thrive in the society, we totally ignore and actively oppose it in practice. And you can see that in all kinds of ways. The fact is that we tend to stack the deck of opportunity against those at the bottom right from the get-go. It's a myth that we believe in equal opportunity, economic opportunity. Then we say that we should take care of people who are less fortunate than us, but just look at how we deal with this population who are homeless, and it's obvious that we don't. And one of the reasons we don't is that we have such an attachment to the idea and the value of self-reliance and productivity. We believe that people should be able to look after themselves. We believe in independence. We believe in productivity. But people who, for whatever reason, don't have the capacity to meet their own needs and are forced to depend on others are so often disparaged and devalued. You know, the personal characteristic of self-reliance has become idealized, also an idealization of people being able to make it on their own. And, you know, many people who became successful came to believe that they deserved what they had made of themselves, and that others who couldn't make it on their own, regardless of their personal, sometimes inborn limitations or the social conditions in which they were raised, were deserving of nothing more than censure, contempt, and the impoverished life that they were forced to lead. And the result is that we've come to tolerate, accept, and justify the misery of people who can't make it on their own. Those who need society's support for their survival are treated as, I guess you could say that, they're treated as undeserving precisely because they need it. And the paltry level of government benefits that these people receive is, I would say, the economic expression of the contempt in which we hold them. You know, even children can't escape this hostile and withholding stance, as can be seen from the fact that 15 million children we allow to go hungry. So, you know, there's the contribution of American values that really serve as the foundation of the way we view these people on the street.
Obviously, the average podcast listener is not going to be able to solve the systemic issues that lead to homelessness. We need massive government intervention and change. Yes. So as I ask this question, think about the individual listening. What small changes can they make in their own lives to reduce the stigma against homeless people and to help make lives a little better for them in these moments when they come across them? Gabe Howard here to tell you about the Inside Bipolar podcast from Healthline Media.
He does the show with me, Dr. Nicole Washington, a board-certified psychiatrist.
That's right. A guy living with bipolar and a psychiatrist team up to discuss living well with bipolar disorder.
Listen now on your favorite podcast player or visit psychcentral.com/IBP to learn more.
Subscribe now so you don't miss out. And we're back with Dr. Robert L. Okun, author of Silent Voices, People with Mental Disorders on the Street.
I walk around the city with some extra pair of socks in my pocket because I know that people who are homeless wear out their socks very fast because they're always walking around. And so I give people some pairs of socks when I pass them. And then also, you know, before I go to an appointment, I give myself a little time because I know I'm going to pass people on the street. And I want to have a little extra time to be able to get them a cup of coffee or a sandwich. And I don't have any illusions about how trivial this kind of, you know, these kinds of actions are, but they have an effect beyond the concrete coffee or sandwich. You know, that people said to me, the fact that some people are willing to do this makes them feel less invisible and less despised. And that's a big deal for people that are living on the street, because in addition to all the physical privations they endure, they have the feeling that they're kind of hated. And these little gestures anyway tell them that at least some people don't hate them. But beyond these, you know, somewhat symbolic gestures, the most important thing that people can do is, first of all, try to remind themselves that people on the street didn't just get there. You know, it wasn't their fault that they're there. And remember some of the things that I've said about how homelessness develops. So remind themselves of that and then take action by calling and writing their political representatives, both in the cities, the states, and the federal government. We're lucky we live in a democracy, and in a democracy, we have the power to use our voice to push our political leaders to take action. And if we don't use that power, then we're going to be living with this humanitarian crisis, you know, for the next 100 years. So the most important thing that people can do is to just take 10 minutes. It doesn't take more than that, to call or email their political leaders and insist that they stop wringing their hands and take action to really solve this problem.
You've indicated that the government needs to take action, and you've given some examples along the way of actions that government can take, but can you really drill this down, especially from the perspective of if we, the people, are going to advocate, what should we advocate for? Because obviously advocating to reduce homelessness is probably not going to get us anywhere. What specifically should we ask our political leaders and our government to do to help reduce the instances of homelessness?
Most fundamentally, government needs to shift its taxation policies to soften the huge disparity in wealth in the society and move some of it to the poorest part of the population so that governments can provide the housing and treatment that these people need to get off the streets. It's not only the humane thing to do, but after an initial investment, it will also ultimately save the taxpayer money because, as I said before, the cost of leaving someone homeless is twice as expensive as giving them housing and treatment. Second, the government needs to stop adding to the problem of homelessness. It needs to stop encouraging the conversion of low-cost housing to high-cost condominiums because this conversion decreases the supply of low-cost housing stock. Governments also need to prevent very poor, fragile people from becoming homeless in the first place by providing housing vouchers, creating rent controls, prohibiting no-fault evictions, giving them financial support to tide them over when they're at risk of losing their apartments. Because as I said before, it's much more expensive and complicated to pull someone out of homelessness once they've slipped into the streets than to prevent it in the first place. Next, as I said before, we've got to reexamine our attitudes towards these people and recognized that had the deck of cards been dealt in another way, we could just as well be in their shoes and they in ours. And if we felt more connected to them, perhaps we'd be willing to speak out and hold our governments responsible for solving the problem.
Dr. Okun, is there anything that we as a society do that just really, really, really drives stigma and makes the problem worse?
One of the most important things we can do is stop putting homeless people in jail for the consequences of their homelessness. For example, many cities have passed what are called sit-lie laws that give the city the authority to put people in jail if they find them sleeping on the streets. Well, where else are homeless people going to sleep? I mean, to jail them because they're sleeping the only place they have to sleep, it just seems cruel. And all it does is contribute to another cycle of homelessness, because when homeless mentally ill people are put in jail, by and large, they get no treatment. And jail is such a toxic place for them that if anything, their symptoms become worse. And then at the end of their sentences, they're thrown out of jail with $25 in their pocket with, you know, maybe a slip of paper telling them to, you know, go to a mental health clinic, but no support, no housing, no nothing. It's like a repetition of what happened to patients who were thrown out of state hospitals. Now we put them in jail and we throw them out of jails. It's just a recapitulation of that same process. So one of the things that government can do is stop doing what makes things worse.
Obviously, you've done a lot of research on this subject. I mean, you wrote a whole book on the subject. So can you share some examples of successes in addressing homelessness?
Yes, I can. We need to recognize that this is an imminently solvable problem, and that governments which created it in the first place should be on the hook for solving it. Unfortunately, some of the pessimism that's developed over the years as to whether it's solvable becomes a cause of homelessness or perpetuating homelessness in itself, because people think, well, there's nothing that can be done. Well, that's just not true. You know, there are good examples that when government does focus on the problem, it really can do something about it. For example, in the Obama administration, you know, faced with the embarrassment of the fact that the government had largely abandoned homeless veterans, the federal government began to create housing and services for this subgroup among the homeless. And the result was that it was able to reduce homelessness among vets by 41% in 10 years. I mean, 41% in 10 years. You know, that's a substantial solution. And then another example that comes to my mind is Houston. You know, the mayor of Houston decided, and Houston's, you know, in a city in a red state. So we're not talking about some liberal city or liberal state, you know, like Massachusetts, for example. The mayor of Houston decided that he was going to make this a real priority of his administration. And he created housing and services for people. He pushed the private nonprofit providers into alignment, so they were all kind of working in the same direction. And the result was, in a decade, Houston was able to reduce its homeless population by 63%. I mean, that if that doesn't show that this is a solvable problem, nothing does. And Houston is not some little city. Houston is one of the big cities in the United States and had all the problems that big cities have. So these are two examples that demonstrate that the problem is solvable.
Well, that's all we have for you. Thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of the Inside Mental Health Podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time. If you would like to learn more about Dr. Okun's work, please check out his book, Silent Voices, People with Mental Disorders on the Street. And if you happen to listen to this bonus episode first, please feel free to listen to Untold Stories, Homelessness and Mental Illness on your favorite podcast player right now. My name is Gabe Howard, and I'm an award-winning public speaker who could be available for your next event. I also wrote the book Mental Illness is an Asshole and Other Observations, which you can get on Amazon, but you can grab a signed copy with free show swag or learn more about me at my website, GabeHoward.com. Wherever you downloaded this episode, please follow or subscribe to the show. It is 100% free. And hey, can you do me a favor? Recommend the show, because sharing the show is how we're going to grow. I will see everybody next Thursday on Inside Mental Health.
You've been listening to Inside Mental Health, a Psych Central podcast from Healthline Media. Have a topic or guest suggestion? Email us at show@psychcentral.com. Previous episodes can be found at psychcentral.com/show or on your favorite podcast player. Thank you for listening.